Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
I really want to preach today, but it is not the right day for me to do it, and Pastor Mike's going to be preaching, so I'm going to take just a second. I'm going to share a couple of thoughts. By the way, I've heard this sermon once. It's a great message. I mean, seriously. So before we get there, I want to say a couple of things about, first of all, early this morning, I was awake well before my alarm. I was laying in bed, and I was thinking about you and praying for you and praying for the church and praying for this year and just thinking about it all. And I want to give you the verse that I believe God's laid on my heart for this year. And it's from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. It says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you." Man, what a great promise. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, and I will not bring famine upon you. And if I were to simply push to you what I think God's speaking to us this year. This is a year for us to get a new heart and a new spirit. This is a year that we start living not in the uncleanness of the years gone by, not in the grief of the years gone by. Come on, did anybody have a great 2016? Did anybody have a lousy 2016? Did anybody have both a great and a lousy 2016? Most of us had a mixture of all the above, right? And what I want is, I want us to step into this year, and I want us to know that no matter what comes our way, it may be whatever, but we walk into it knowing that it's with a new heart and a new spirit that God's going to release his spirit upon us and give us freedom from all the uncleanness. And also, it says, to bring prosperity. Now, can we talk for a second about that? Next week, I'm going to explain in detail this 90-day tithe challenge. But let me tell you what a 90-day tithe challenge is. Our deacons got together and we said, you know, really and realistic, only a little over about 30 to 40% of this church actually gives what would be considered a tithe. And what a tithe is 10% of your income. And God says in Malachi to test me in this, says the Lord, test me. By the way, if you think that's bad, that's three times the typical average for churches in America. So anyway, there are blessings that you're missing because you're not tithing. We want to give you an opportunity to tithe. We've never done this before. We've never done it before. And there are reasons why we haven't done it. I'll explain that next week, and there are reasons why this year is different. But we're going to give you an opportunity next week to take the 90-day tithe challenge, and that's to take 90 days to tithe. And if in that time period God doesn't come through on the promises of test me in this and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven, if that doesn't happen and you feel that you need your money given back to you, we will refund fully your tithes for 90 days as a chance of putting our money where we believe God's mouth is. Now, what we're going to do is we're doing that next week. I'll explain that more next week. But what I want to let you know is the reason we're doing this, all right, did you see walls when you pulled up today? Right, you know, I found out this past week that we're going to spend another $11,000 to get the right door closings on. That's $11,000 that wasn't plotted. So what do we do? What do? Do we come to you and say to those of you that are already giving, give more, give more, give more? Or do we say, listen, if we had 80% of this church actually tithing, actually doing what God says and stepping into God's blessing, we wouldn't have to take any special offerings. We could pay for it all. All these missionaries that we want to support, guess what we could do? We could support them. Our missionaries need a raise. They hadn't had a raise in about 5 years. They need a raise. We could do all of this. If those of you that are in this room that haven't stepped into this blessing of God, notice the language. I got my tithe check right here. Do you know why I got my tithe check? My very first check of 2017. Do you know what it is? It's a check to Harvest Ridge. Do you know why? Because I want to declare that my first outgoing belongs to God. I'm sorry. I said I want to preach. That's your job, all right? Listen, this is an opportunity. I want you to be praying about it this upcoming week, and I want you to be asking God to open your heart to the message. And I want you to hear this message today, and I want us to be a church where we can do some things like, wouldn't it be great to be able to give a raise to all of our missionaries? Wouldn't that be great? In a building project, to give a raise to all of our missionaries. Wouldn't that be great? That's my heart. That's what I want to do, and I want to do it this year. That's where we want to go. We don't want to take more money. We want to give more money. What a privilege to be a part of a church with an attitude like that, right? All right, so that being said, let's pray for the Stetzes, because they're our missionary of the month. This is Missionary of the Month Sunday. This is the month that we encourage you to make your pledge to missions. And if you haven't been through membership class, you need to go through, because you'll understand why everybody needs to make a pledge to missions, right? Father, we pray your blessing today on this offering. We pray that as we give, we pray that as we enter this new year, this making change, this new heart, this new spirit, that we would see and understand what you have to say to us, that you have something new for us. Let us not live in the past. Let us move into your future. Give us a new heart. Give us a new spirit. Remove that uncleanness that's been on us for years. I pray this year it'd be completely gone, and that uncleanness would go away, and no longer would the Church of Jesus Christ be bogged down by all the garbage of this world, but we would live free before you. I pray, Father, that we would learn to trust you with our finances. We would learn to trust you with the things you have given to us, that we would use it in a way that is right and appropriate with your commands, your laws, your instruction, your truth. And I pray that we would live in that blessing. I pray as well, Father, that you would use us to reach the world, that people like Bob and Aaron, right there in that country, that they would in Germany, while they're there learning the language, they're about to be invested in Switzerland, would they learn the language well and quickly, and would you open up doors of effective ministry, guide them to the right place and guide them away from the wrong places. And I pray that there would be effectiveness, that everywhere they go and every day when they invest their lives, that you would bless them, you would use them to build your kingdom, not only them, but all of our missionaries around the world. And I pray, Father, that you would use us as missionaries in our world to make a difference today and this year. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Our ushers are going to come and receive our morning tithes and offerings. And just want to encourage you, pray next week. We're going to be looking at the 90-day tithe challenge. I think this should be a good year for us. God bless you.
Names are Matt and Paula Weiss. We've been attending Harvest Ridge Church for
6 years.
Six years. A lot of different ways that God's moved in our finances. When we were first married, Paula was fresh out of nursing school and working, and I was kind of transitioning from one career, trying to find the next one, and jump from a couple different jobs to other jobs. And just having her steady income was great, and allowed me the flexibility to try to search for something that I wanted to do. But just through the tithing, just felt like we never felt like we were in wants, never felt like we were in need or anything else like that. Just God always provided through a variety of different ways.
So I was thinking the same thing. I was like, as a non-church person growing up, and him being a church person, always tithing, I just never did that. So when we started tithing, and I mean, I did it because we agreed to do it, but I just remember looking back, like seeing like your tax returns come back and look at how much we actually gave in a year. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. We could have done something really cool with that. But, you know, over the years and being faithfully tithing and, you know, seeing what God's done in our life, we've always been blessed financially. Really, we've never been in financial distress, or we've always got had what we needed. We've always had extra to do fun things with too, you know. So we've been blessed.
This past year, went to a missions trip to the Dominican Republic. And so we were raising funds, and my daughter went as well. So the two of us were raising, you know, close to $2,700 or whatever.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, like $1,375 each or whatever. And so we wrote our letter, sent them out to friends and family and things like that. And I gave my boss a letter. And he was out of town, but I was sitting on his desk when he came back. I think he was back in the office for like an hour. And he comes walking back to me with an envelope. And in it was a check for the full amount for my trip to the Dominican. Is that a coincidence or is that a God instance?
After tithing for a while, like, we didn't miss it. Like, it's just part of part of what we did, and it wasn't like we missed it anymore. It was just what we did, and
you got to give, you got to let go of some things and let God take control. And sometimes it's just doing a little trust, and maybe you don't start off at a tenth, maybe you don't start off at 10%, but you start someplace and test God in it and see what He does for you. And it's not always financially. There's so many ways that we feel that we've been blessed. You know, with just our friends, with our relationships, with just comfort in our decisions that we've made, that we haven't felt like we've been wanting for anything.
Hey, good morning, Harvest Ridge. Welcome to church this morning. First service of the new year. We made it. We did it. Hey, we're excited. We're beginning a new sermon series called Making Change. And that was a video of Matt and Paula Weiss, and kind of their story there was their lives have been changed because they decided to live according to God's word. They decided to live according to what God teaches us in the Bible, and it brings change to our lives. And that's kind of what this whole sermon series is all about over these next few weeks, is making change, is bringing change and health to our lives. But real quick, so I know some of you were getting up and you're ready to hear the rich goodness that is Pastor Kevin, and you're a little disappointed, you know, can't hear him preach, although that message during the offering was really good. Try to match that. So for those of you who were really looking forward to getting some Pastor Kevin today, I have something for you. And for those of you who are visiting or new and don't know Pastor Kevin too well, this is, you know, a little bit of taste of what you'll get if you come back. So I'm going to share top five Pastor Kevin sayings with you. Is that all right? Will you give me 5 minutes? Can I have 5 minutes right now to do that? Okay. All right. Okay. Raise your hand if you think I should keep going. If you think this is, come on. The rest of you are lying. You know you want me to keep going. You know this is going to be good. Okay, so I did need some help with this. I got some insight from other people. I have one submitted by an R. Crow, and it said, "My wife is the most amazing, hilarious, majestic human being to ever grace the face of the earth." So apparently that's one. I don't know. Maybe things she wants him to say all the time. But anyway, oh, come on. I don't think you're getting this, people. Come on, This is way better than the claps and the amens I'm getting right now, is it not? Come on, this is good. All right, anyway. So there you go. That's your Pastor Kevin for today. Hold on, do that. That's number six. Anyway, okay, good. Now we can continue. But yeah, the sermon series though is making change, and here's the driving idea and the goal is we want our church to be healthy and to be growing in all areas of our life. And here's our scripture. Here's our theme verse. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word this morning. Here's the verse it's going to be the basis and foundation for all these messages as we go through the next few weeks. 3 John verse 2. "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Good health and all things in your soul as well. So Lord, I pray this morning, God, that we would have a vision for good health in all areas of our life through what you can do, through your word, through your spirit. God, I pray over these next few minutes, let it not be my words, but let it be your spirit, your words speaking through me, and that you would just begin to change hearts and minds, and it would all be about glorifying you and bringing your people to where you want them to go. I pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Again, this sermon series is a challenge to bring change and health to the lives of people in this church, physically and financially, spiritually, relationally, how we serve and live in the church. That's the goal. That's where we're going these next few weeks, through making change. Again, not through self-help, not through just good ideas and advice of how you can make your life better, but living through God's word and through the power that he offers through his word and through his spirit, making change in our lives so we can be healthy and we can grow. And why is that important? So I share this a bunch over the summer with our youth. You're probably sick of hearing this example. But growth and change is important because a few years ago, there was a lady. It's a true story. She did not get off of her couch for 6 years. Did not get off her couch for 6 years, and it got so bad, she had to be rushed to the hospital But they had to take the couch out through the door because her skin had grafted into the couch fabric. She had stayed there so long. It's a true story. That's sad and that's tragic. That's a lady created in the image of God. But the thing was that one, it didn't get like that overnight. But one day she decided, and the people around her who loved her decided, you're good right where you're at. I don't need to get up. I don't need to move from where I'm at. I'm okay. And one day she decided that, and every day since then, that was the decision. I'm okay right where I'm at. And that's why it's important to change and to grow, because when we stop moving forward, when we just get comfortable with where we're at, that's when we begin dying. So change and growth and health is important for us in our lives in all areas, and where we can grow, where we can get better. And that's why it's important, making change, health in all areas of our life. So that's the sermon series. Today, here's the one thought I want everyone to get. The one thought that I'm going to share with you today, the one idea I hope you walk away with, is that more is not better. More is not always better. More does not equal better. I mean, now, we have instincts, of course, that do tell us that in some areas, more, of course, is better. So if I were to give away something, I want to give away a little bit. Who would like some money? BB, would you like $1 or $2? You would like $2, of course. There you go. That's for you. That was my Christmas present. Just kidding, it wasn't. Okay, so natural instinct tells us, yes, of course, two is better than one. There's a benefit to having more. Of course, that's true and correct in some cases, but not always. More is not always better, even though our culture constantly is pumping us with this idea that there's always something better, more, different. You know, shoot for this. Even use cute kids in commercials. Here's a good one from a couple years back if you want to play that.
Who thinks more is better than less? Okay, why?
More is better than less because if stuff is not less, if there's more less stuff, then you might want to have some more, and your parents just don't let you because there's only a little bit.
Right.
We want more. We want more. Like, you really like it. Right. You want more.
I follow you. It's not complicated. More is better.
So yeah, more is better. It's funny. But isn't that the message we get? There's, just commercials and billboards. And if you just had this, you'd be happy. If you just had a little bit of this, this is what you need to add to your life, for you to be satisfied, for you to be happy. More is not always better. That's not always the case. More does not equal better. So here's where we're going to go over these next few minutes. So here's the thought. Here's the idea. More is not better. This is the main thought. I'm going to give you three reasons why that's true, and then I'm going to show how we can live this biblical truth out in our lives. All right, so here's the main thought, the kind of thread that's running through the whole message. I'm going to give you three reasons why it's important to know, why it's true, and then how we can live this out in our lives. All right, that's where we're going today for the next few minutes, so you can track with me. More is not always better. So we're going to look at a story in Daniel. There are four young men, Daniel chapter 1. It'll be on the screen if you'd like to follow along. There's four young men that were taken from their home, Israel, taken into exile into Babylon, and they were made to serve in the king's courts. They had some gifts, but they were away from home as exiles, and that's kind of where we pick up the story here, Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king will then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The other names for those are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you're familiar with those names for them. Please test our servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. They didn't just survive, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding all kinds of literature and learning. Here's the four men that, for whatever exact reason it may be, maybe they wanted to follow the dietary laws that God had given them, and that covenant. Maybe it was because the food that was given to those young men was left over from idol sacrifices, or whatever the reason was. They chose to be separate. They chose not to take part in all the other things that the culture was giving them to be healthy. They chose to go with less. And not only were they okay, I mean, the Bible says they were even better nourished and healthier. They got what everyone else was looking for with less. See, more is not always better. More is not always better. They didn't ask for more of what the culture was giving them. They asked for less, and that ended up being even more for them. They didn't just get some indirect spiritual elevation. They got what everyone else was looking for too, because they decided to go less with culture and focus on God. More is not always better. For these four young men in exile, they didn't choose more. They chose God instead. They chose less of the world and more of God, and ended up being exactly what they needed, and even more so. So, more is not better. That's our thought. Reason number one, why is more not better? One, because more can be a distraction. More can be a distraction. If you don't believe me, you should go to Cheesecake Factory and look at their menu. Okay? Has anyone been to Cheesecake Factory and seen that menu? Okay. Yeah, so I wanted to make sure I had the right restaurant in mind, so I went online to look at it. Okay, and just online, these are the different sections that I had to click on just to see a menu. These are just the sections of the menu I'm about to read to you from Cheesecake Factory, okay? Just so you get an idea of the insane amount of what there is. All right, so again, these are just sections. Each section has a whole list of items. Here we go, ready? At a glance, appetizers, salads, appetizer salads, small plates and snacks, glam burgers, specialties, specialty pizzas, specialty pastas, specialty fish and seafood, specialty steak and chops, sandwiches, side dishes, cheesecakes, cheesecakes and desserts, specialty desserts, desserts and beverages. Those are just headings and subsections for each menu. Okay, so, and see what happens when you have so many choices. I mean, first of all, it takes you 2 hours just to get through the menu, and you're extra hungry, but, you know, you're like, okay, should I get the smokehouse barbecue burger, or should I get the Jamaican black pepper shrimp? And you go back and forth and all these other options. You get the burger, and you eat it, and you're like, well, that was good, but I wonder if the shrimp would have been better. You know, maybe I should have gotten the enchiladas. But see, you just had something delicious and good, but all you're doing on is focused on what you didn't have. Yep. See, more is not always better, because more can be a distraction from what you actually have. Right? Isn't that the story of humanity from the very beginning in Genesis? The first story of the Bible is Adam and Eve. They're in the garden. God had given them everything they needed, everything they could possibly need to sustain themselves and to enjoy life, but yet they got caught up in the one thing they didn't have or couldn't have. Isn't that humanity? See, more is not always better. More is a distraction. More can cause you to miss out on the good things because all you're doing is focused on what you don't have. Ecclesiastes has got a great verse. It's better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And better to have a little bit less, but you're at peace with it, than to have more, but it's because you're constantly going after and chasing and seeing what... Man, better is a little bit less with some peace. I mean, have you ever decided in a group of people where to go out to eat? How long does that take? You go back and forth. Let's go to Applebee's. No, I went there yesterday. Let's go to Chili's. That's the same as Applebee's. Let's go to Chipotle. Chipotle's really good. I always get Chipotle, but it is really good. Let's go Taco Bell. No fast food. By the time you actually decide where to go, you could have planted and harvested your own grains and cooked your own meal to eat something. Because we have all these options where we live. All these options, and it just distracts us from actually making a decision. More is not always better. One more story kind of illustrate this. So there's a businessman, he was on vacation, some, you know, Caribbean islands, and they, you know, spoke English there, but he's on the beach under a hut in his drink or whatever, just kind of enjoying the scene. And he sees a fisherman coming from the ocean. He's got a little boat, gets his net of fish, and he sees him kind of go over to the shack, and looks like he sells some of his fish, gets some money, saves a little bit of fish for himself, puts it in a satchel. The fisherman lays down on the beach, just kind of laying there relaxing. The businessman thinks, okay, it's good. He's going to take a little bit of break before he heads back out into the water and goes for his next catch. Yeah, but an hour and a half goes by, businessman's still kind of there, notices the fisherman's just still laying there, just laying on the beach, not doing anything. And he's pretty successful, so eventually he decides to go over and talk to this guy. He says, so I'm wondering, why aren't you going back out, you know, to get another catch? The fisherman asks, Well, what would I get if I did? Well, of course, you'd get more fish. You'd be able to make more money if you did that. You get, you know, you double your money, triple your money if you do two or three trips during the day. Okay, what if I did that? Well, you'd be able to buy a better net. You'd be able to buy a bigger net. You'd catch more fish each time if you did that. Okay, then what would I get if I did that? Okay, well, you'd be able to buy a bigger boat. You'd be able to put a motor on your boat. You'd be able to, you know, do more trips throughout the day. You'd be expounding on your return and the more fishing you get. Okay, what if I did that? Now the businessman's a little bit agitated. Okay, well then you could hire someone who could help you. You could get a second boat. Now you'd be doubling your profits each day. Okay, what if I did that? Now the businessman's a little annoyed with him, saying, okay, well you did that. Then you could get a whole fleet of boats. You could have all these employees that could work for you, cover the entire island. Think about that. Think about it. If you did that for months and all the money you could save and put away, you know, all the money you'd have saved up running this whole business. Okay, what if I did that? Well, then eventually you could retire, not have to worry about working anymore. You'd have enough money. You'd be able to sit on the beach and relax all day. It says, what do you think I'm doing right now? So what I'm not saying, okay, don't work hard, don't worry, don't plan ahead. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we get so caught up in the chase of something greater and more and having to chase something extra that we're just trying to get to what we already have. Instead of seeing what's right in front of us and being content, I'm not talking about laziness, I'm talking about contentment, being content with what we have. We have this desire to constantly, we're distracted from what we actually have by what the possibility of more. More isn't always better, because more can be a distraction. Number two, why is more not always better? Well, two, because you already have more. You already have more. Let me ask this question in our youth service a couple months ago, but okay, so we've all thought about this. If you were rich, what was the first thing you would do? What's the first thing you would buy? Get some volunteers. What would you do? House, boat, somebody said, new house, new car. We had a lady in first service that she would buy a donkey farm, which was pretty awesome. So, or like mini horses so kids come over. That was pretty cool. Anybody else? What would you do if you were rich? What's the first thing you would get? What's that? Give a lot away. That's so altruistic of you. It's so nice. That's awesome. That's great. So we have these, we've all thought about it. What would we do, you know, if we were rich? The thing is, we already have more. So United States, the median household income, United States, median household income is right around the 1% line for the entire world. Median household income for the United States, right on 1%. So worst case scenario, most of us here are gonna be top 3 or 4% in the entire world. We think about, well, if I'm rich, we already have more. Let's not get distracted by what we have and what we don't have. Reminds me, I was in Mexico last week. About a week and a half ago, I got to go to Mexico to visit my family. They're missionaries down there, so I haven't seen them in a while. And my dad's from Cleveland. He's a Cleveland sports fan. He, you know, follows the Cavs and things. Do you guys know Matthew Dellavedova played for the Cavs last year? This year, he signed with another team, with Milwaukee. And my dad was saying, wouldn't he come back to the Cavs? We're such a better team. I said, well, Dad, Milwaukee paid him $8 million, and the Cavs were only paying $5 million. So why does he need that extra $3 million? You know, and we think that, right? Like, it's easy for us to say. They have so much money. I've never turned down $3 million, so it's easy for me to say that. Right? We say, they don't need, why would they go for that extra money? You know, if I were them, I would be happy with what I had. If I were them, you know, it's easy to say, well, I wouldn't need the extra $3 million, but why do I still, like, want that extra $3,000? Or, you know, it's easy for us to say, look at people and, you know, kind of put ourselves in their shoes and say, well, I wouldn't be this way. Man, if we're already in the top 1, 2, 3% of the world, how many people are looking at us and saying, man, if I just had that, I wouldn't need another $5,000 raise, or, you know? We're already there. So Jesus told us to ask God, and God's a good father, he likes to provide. Ask him for our daily bread. He said, pray and ask for your daily bread. Ask God for what you need for today. Ask God for what you need for today. It's straight from Jesus. So God wants to provide, but we're told to ask for what we need for today. So let me ask you, how many of us would go home if we ate lunch and dinner, but have any food left over somewhere in our house or enough money to go buy some? Pretty much every one of us in this room. I don't know everyone's stories, but I'd say the vast majority of us, you know, and you may not like the canned beans and carrots you have, but it would be food, right? You would have leftover food. So we've been given way more than we need. We've been given more than we deserve. So I'm getting married in a couple months, and yes, thank you. But that's forced me to like think about all the stuff I have and all the stuff I don't really need and stuff that's you know have to get thrown out and whatever. So I realized I had a lot of shirts. I have a lot of shirts. And I was like, I probably don't need all these shirts, but I decided to actually count out all the shirts I had just to really see like what I have. So here's a picture of all of my shirts. I have 171 shirts. I mean, that's between like t-shirts, sweaters, jackets, you know, hoodies, all those. But if I wake up in the morning, I have 171 options of something to put on me just to be warm. That's a lot more than I need. You know, and so we may not think, well, we're not rich like this person is. Man, if I have 171 shirts, God has provided much more than I need. And as of tomorrow morning, once I go out to the dumpster, it'll be 149 shirts. So I'm making some progress here. I didn't need community service 2009 shirt anymore. I had to let go of that one. But man, how many shirts or socks could you throw away and not even miss? See, more is not always better because we already have more. And I'm speaking to our audience here, Northeast Ohio. More is not better because more is a distraction, and more is not better because we already have more. And that leads into our final point. More is not better because things never satisfy. At the end of the day, things do not satisfy. Ecclesiastes 5:10 puts it such a great way. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. If you have not saying money is bad, but the love and the desire, pursuit of money and wealth, that's never going to satisfy. There's always going to be something more. Well, if I just made a little bit more, you could buy better clothes, buy some better food. Or, well, if I made $10,000 more, then I could buy a better car. Okay. But then you could make $50,000 more, buy a better house. Or $100,000 more and buy a second house. Or $500,000 more, and then you could buy your own business. Or $1 million more, then you could have your own private place. There's always more to desire and want and to feed ourselves. And there's a never-ending limit to what we can desire and want. See, things don't satisfy. And even the great modern poet, Tim McGraw, says, you know, when we come to the end of our lives, what's important? It says, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. Right, you guys know that song? Went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu, and I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness. I mean, no, but I say that even our culture deep down recognizes that things aren't going to satisfy you. Things aren't going to be what, at the end of the life, is important. It's about our relationships and our experiences. Even our own culture recognizes that. That deep down, more is not going to satisfy. More isn't always better. More does not equal better because more is a distraction, because we already have more, and because things don't satisfy. All right, so how do we live that way? God's word is telling us to give us an example of four young men who did with less, and yet God blessed them with everything they need and even more than that. Scripture tells us that chasing after more is a distraction. It doesn't satisfy us. Okay, so how do we live that way? Well, as a church, we're going to do 21 days together, 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. Here's what fasting is. Fasting is something in your life that you choose, something important to you. You choose to do without. Something in your life doesn't mean, not saying it's evil or wrong, but something that you find brings you fulfillment and satisfaction. And sometimes to an unhealthy level, you choose to do without. Commonly, that's food. Okay, if you've never heard what fasting is, I'm kind of going through exactly what fasting is. Food, you choose to go without a meal for, you know, one meal a day, or or some people do 3 meals a week, or you, you know, don't eat meat, you know, for whatever it may be, something that you find your fulfillment in and you do without, even something you may need, or even something else, your phone, social media. Some of you guys, it'd be really good for you to go 3 weeks without being on your phone. Seriously. Not because it's wrong or it's evil, but because our identity and our satisfaction and fulfillment is tied to those things. And God is saying, focus on me. So what fasting is, you do something that's important to you, you do without that thing, and instead you seek God. Instead of filling yourself with whatever that is, you go after him. See, Matthew says, man does not live by bread alone, by the very words of God. The words of God are life and sustenance to us. John 6:35, one of my favorite verses, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. So when you come to Jesus, you find the very source of all life. You find the very source of fulfillment. Not just something you believe and say, I'm a Christian, this is my religion. No, but it's you tie yourself to the very source of all life and fulfillment. That's what fasting is. And so whenever you choose to do, whenever you have that desire or that pull, or you know, that want to satisfy, instead of going to whatever that is, you say, God, I want you. God, instead of all these secondary things that you give, I want you, the very source of life. I want to be connected to you that made me and that knows me, my creator. And man, when you connect to the source of life, aren't you more satisfied than just by connecting to the gifts that he gives? You really are. That's what I want for me. That's what fasting is. So by fasting, you change who you are by letting God and his source and his fulfillment change you. At the same time, we pray. Prayer and fasting. So how can we do that? Well, as a church, we're going to be here every Saturday night this January at 7 o'clock for prayer. We're going to pray together. So if you want to come, the doors are open Saturday night, 7 o'clock each week. Pray together. We'll pray for our community, for our church, for our world, for our government, praying to make a difference in this world. And then also, each day for the next 21 days, we're going to put something out on social media. We're going to put our, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Each day we're going to put something new out, something to pray for, a scripture verse to encourage us, a theme, and a missionary to pray for. So if you want to follow along and pray with us together as a church. All right, so as you fast, you say, well, I'm not sure what to do. Okay, well, we're giving you some guidelines. Okay, so instead of having a meal or instead of whatever, take time. God, I want you. I want more of you. And then you also pray for what our focus is today. So we're going to do that. We're going to do our first one together here this morning. Okay, kind of give you an example of what this is all about and how to do that. So our day number one, January 1st, our prayer focus is focus. Focus. And here's the scripture that it gives to us, Habakkuk 2:2-3. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. It's a reminder that God's promise and his word, it comes, and it's faithful, and it's true. So we're praying for focus on God and on his promises. Focus that we don't get distracted by our circumstances and our own feelings, and this doesn't feel God right, God, and I don't like how this is going. No. We focus on his word and his promises. It will come. It will not delay. So let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning. Your church here in Northeast Ohio, Lord, we pray that Harvest Ridge would be focused on who you are and on what you say and your promises being true and faithful. Lord, that our circumstances and our surroundings will not distract us from the reality that you are above it all. You are King, you are Lord, you are good, you are faithful. God, when the desires and the pulls from culture and the world try to distract us, that we would stay focused on you, the very source of life that is better. That is better than any of those things. We would stay focused. I pray this for myself. I pray this for the people of Harvest Ridge. In your name, Jesus, we pray for focus over these next 21 days. Then we have a missionary. We're going to have a missionary each day to pray for. Today's Bob and Aaron. We saw them in the video, our former worship pastor and his family, living in Germany, working in Switzerland. Let's pray for them. Jesus, again, we lift up the Stetzes right now. God, we lift up that family. God, we pray that you would, Lord, just pour out and lavish your grace and your anointing on them. God, we pray for Bob and Aaron, for their marriage, that it would be strong and steadfast. It would be an example to those around them. God, pray for Annika and Josiah, that they would grow into young man that follows you and desires you. God, we pray for open relationships with people that are to spread the light of your gospel. We pray for your hand to be upon the city they live in, and in that valley. God, you would do the work there, and you would be with them. Give them your peace and your joy and all the fruits of the Spirit. We pray for the Stetzes in your name. Amen. So we're going to have one of those each day. If you follow along, we'll have a different focus, different missionary we can pray for. So here's the vision. We pray and we fast, and we remove ourselves from the extra. We remove ourselves from the more, and we seek God instead. For 21 days, how can your life be different? How can your life be changed by connecting to the source of God? And how can our world be different if together as a church, each day, have people praying for missionaries around the world, praying for our community? Change. That's what we want for our church. That's what we want Harvest Ridge to be known for. That new heart and the new spirit that Pastor Kevin was talking about. What could happen if we spend time each day focused not on the extra that our culture gives us, but on God himself? I think that'd be pretty cool if we did that. So Lord, I pray a blessing over our church for 2017 and for this week. Let us desire you and things you give above everything else. In your name, Jesus, amen. Have a great Sunday. Have a great 2017, everybody.